Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been thinking together and studying together in the Epistle of Hebrews. And again, I've emphasized this, and I want to emphasize it again with you today. Some of you have been following these lessons, these studies with me, week by week, as we have studied them together. And I want to emphasize this again, that we need to have strong foundations in our faith. And so when we study and read the Word of God, sometimes we pick out only the things that are easiest for us to read, as we don't want to really meditate on the Word, and so we sort of zip through various chapters in books that are easier to read. And I want to encourage you to meditate on the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to get into it, in other words. By the indwelling Holy Spirit, we Christians can understand God's Word. Now, we don't understand sometimes all of the deep things. There are certain books that I don't feel comfortable in teaching on the radio, for instance, because I have never studied them perhaps deeply enough to be able to teach them. These New Testament books that I have been sharing on the radio, these books are books that I've been teaching and studying and meditating on for the last 50 or more years, as I have taught in various seminaries in the Philippines and Hong Kong and other places. But we need to get into the Word of God. And this book of Hebrews is one of these books that we need to understand, because it gives to us a picture of the perfect fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ of every Old Testament promise, of every Old Testament prediction, of every Old Testament type. In other words, the sacrifices of the Old Testament were types of the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. They themselves did not save from sin, they could not cleanse sin, but they were types of the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice of the divine Son of God on the cross for our sins. And even the law itself prepared the people, it revealed their sin to them, and then in the law, it also gave the sacrifices and so forth, which would be a picture of the coming sacrifice of Christ. So everything in the Old Testament was a picture of something to come. So when people had faith, and we're in this faith chapter now, chapter 11 of Hebrews, but when people had faith, they had faith in the coming Messiah, the spiritual people, that is. Now, the ordinary people who were not spiritual, who were very wavering in their faith and so forth, they may not have understood much about what was to come, but the spiritual people did. People like Abel, who was killed by Cain, like Noah, like Abraham, like Moses, like David and others, they had faith to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus and the perfect work that he would complete, how he would complete every promise and every prediction of the Old Testament. He would be the perfect fulfillment of everything. So I want to urge you to get into books like John and Romans and Ephesians and Hebrews. And you may think of another book or two. But again, these four books especially are doctrinal books. And Satan will always try to assault you, to lead you astray with false teaching. Here on this island of Guam, in America, in the Philippines, everywhere, there are false teachers and they abound. There are many of them. They can knock on your door. You hear them on the radio. You hear them on the television. And they sound so real, they sound so authentic, but they're not, because most of them are departing from the Word of God itself. And I want to urge you again, get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God, let me repeat, and study the Word of God and reject the teachings of man. Even as you listen to my own studies with you, I want you to notice I'm sticking right with the Word of God itself. We're not adding to it, we're not taking away from it in any way. We're simply going through these various studies, and I've done a number of studies in different books of the New Testament, but we simply go through them in a simple and a very clear way, but we stick with the Word of God. And we're not trying to bring in the teachings of man, or simply my own ideas about what these books are teaching. Now, today, I want you to turn again to Hebrews chapter 11. We've studied a number of things, how Christ is a perfect answer to our needs. And now, he also has provided the means by which we can have eternal hope through faith. In other words, this is a faith chapter. So I want to begin with verse 20 and read down a little ways through this passage. Chapter 11, verse 20, if you have your Bibles, open them with me. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should also touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now I'm going to stop reading right there. We probably won't cover all of this today, but I wanted to cover some of it. First of all, we looked at Jacob. We looked at Isaac in the last one, and we're looking at Jacob today. In the last one, we talked about Isaac as the only son of Abraham and Sarah, and how Isaac himself had faith in looking to the future. He blessed Jacob and Esau, and he promised them concerning the future that they had ahead of them. And then we came down to chapter 11, verse 21. We're studying the example of Jacob himself, the father of the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was from him would come the 12 tribes. And so these 12 tribes were only going to be 12 people in the beginning, just 12 sons born to him. But from these sons would come forth the nation of Israel, including the Levites, of course, the two sons of Joseph, and then the children of Israel would multiply and multiply until they would be a great nation. Now, as God had done previously with both Abraham and Isaac, God also meets several times with Jacob to declare his promises for the descendants of Jacob. Now, we didn't take this with Isaac, but God first met several times with Abraham and renewed his promises and expanded upon his promises. He did the same with Isaac when Isaac was still living and still very active. He several times met with him and gave him promises concerning the future of the nation and so forth. Now he does the same thing with Jacob. Jacob is going to meet with God on a number of occasions. Now Jacob has a very interesting life, and I don't want to go into this again. It was a life that indeed was not perfect. It was a life of lies and cheating in some ways. But nevertheless, God still honors him as a man of faith. First of all, he lied to his own father. He was taught by his mother how to lie. In other words, he did not know how to approach his father with lies. So his mother taught him how to lie to the father. Shame on her, of course. Nevertheless, God still blessed this man, Jacob. And then, of course, later, he's going to lie to his father-in-law. He's going to cheat his father-in-law and then lie to him about what he has done. And so there are many ways that Jacob might have failed. But nevertheless, he is still a man of God. He is still a man whom God would use, and a man that God would call a man of faith. Now, I want to emphasize this again with you as Christians and with me as a Christian. We are not perfect in our lives. Sometimes it is easy to look back on these Old Testament men and to scoff at their failures. In other words, to make mockery of them because of the way they failed. No, in comparison sometimes with our failures in the Christian lives, our failures to love God as we should, to follow the Lord Jesus with all our hearts as we should, to obey Him completely as we should, to daily walk with Him in strict fellowship with Him and disciplined fellowship with Him, and to in every way have the strong faith through every circumstance of life. Sometimes we do fail. And so we need not look back and mock these people of the Old Testament. They were like ourselves. They were human. And they would fail. And yet God honored them because of the things that they did for God, their devotion to God when they did have it. And God would honor us in the same way. And I want to emphasize this truth with you again and again and again. God will honor us in the same way if we're willing to follow him. So when we look at someone like Jacob, for instance, we see his failures, and we see them so very easily. But nevertheless, he did trust God enough that he went back again to the land. He left his father in Haran, left his father-in-law in Haran. Let me put it that way. He took his wives and his children with him and his servants and his cattle, and he went back again into the land that God had promised. And he was going to live there till finally Joseph would bring him into Egypt itself. And so he's an example of faith. And again, I want to say, we ourselves may fail, but this does not mean we should give up, that we should leave fellowship with the Lord and not walk with him as we should. When we do fail, we simply confess our needs before God, and then we get right with him and we walk with him as we should. So if your heart needs to be revived in your walk with him, take the opportunity that God has given you, not because of me, but just because of the warnings in this book, warnings to the unsaved and warnings to Christians. Take the opportunity to get right and to get back in a revived state before God, where you're walking with him in obedience and in fellowship and in right relationship with him. Now we come down to verse 22, and we see the example here of Joseph. And Joseph had a very difficult life. He is one of the few men whose faults are not emphasized. In other words, every other man, of course, Abel's faults were not emphasized, but Noah's fault was emphasized when he got drunken and so forth, and Abraham's faults were emphasized, and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. But when we come down to Joseph, who had a very difficult life, and I think you're aware of the circumstances of his life, his one fault, perhaps, was boasting in front of his brothers. He angered his brothers, because apparently when God gave him this revelation of them bowing down to him, he boasted about it to the brothers, as though he was somehow superior to them. And this seems to me he stepped beyond the bounds, and he perhaps sinned in the way he boasted and needlessly angered them. And yet at the same time, it was God's will that he should go down to Egypt. One way or the other, it was God's will that he should go there and prepare the way for his family to come there as well. So it was God's will. As you come to the last chapters of the book of Genesis, Joseph makes this very clear, that even though his brothers had put him through extreme difficulties, in fact, at one point they wanted to kill him, and it was only the older brother who spared him. They finally put him in a pit and then sold him to the traders who would go down to Egypt and sell him to the family of Potiphar. In other words, he would live in his house and he would be a servant to him. And then, of course, he would rise to great power after being in prison. There were many, many things that would happen. But it was God's will that these things should happen. And Joseph makes this clear to his brothers when finally they realize who he is and they're afraid of him. It makes it clear that they need not be afraid, because it was God's will that he should be there in Egypt. So he did fail, perhaps in the very beginning, by needlessly angering his brothers. But you notice his life there in Egypt was a blameless life. His life, for instance, in the home of Potiphar, when he refused to compromise with moral issues, when Potiphar's wife tried to terribly tempt him to commit adultery, to commit immorality with her. And he refused to do it. And because of that refusal, he was put in prison because she lied about him to Potiphar. And then, of course, in prison itself, it was not an easy life, but he was a man who could be trusted. And so the jailer, the head of the prison, put him in charge of the other prisoners and so forth. So in every way, God undergirded him, even though he went through tremendous difficulties to get to the place with Pharaoh where he finally came, where he finally came into a place of great prominence with Pharaoh. And then, of course, he's used by God to interpret the dreams and how this gave him a position with Pharaoh himself, where he interpreted Pharaoh's own dreams. And then finally, his unselfish use of his place in Egypt to prepare a place for his family and their descendants. This was also an evidence of God's blessing in him. He also seemed to have had a strong belief in the promises that God had given to his father and grandfather about God's future plans for the nation. In other words, Israel was going to live in Egypt after Joseph brought them there, the family. Their descendants would grow up for more than 400 years in Egypt before God would finally deliver them, take them into the wilderness, and finally, after 40 more years, take them into the Promised Land. It was going to be a long, long stretch ahead. But Joseph, by faith, was looking ahead to the day when God had a plan for the nation of Israel, and when God was going to fulfill his promises by some means. Now, it seems impossible from a human standpoint that God could ever fulfill those promises, especially when they were in Egypt. And eventually, the Pharaohs forgot Joseph, and they made them simply like slaves and prisoners. They were not simply a nation living there with the favor of Pharaoh, but rather they became the enemies of Pharaoh. They became his slaves and his servants. He was afraid of these people. And so it seemed impossible from a human standpoint that they could ever be delivered. But a man like Joseph had the faith to look forward and to believe. Now, another thing I notice, and that is that he refused to harbor bitterness against his brothers. I mentioned this before, but we're going to see in chapter 45, verses 3 to 13, chapter 50, verses 19 and 20, he had a righteous character and instead concentrated upon the fact that it was God's will that he should go through the difficulties so that he could deliver his family and give the Israelites of that generation and the future a place to live. Now, I'm going to have to bring this to a close. And again, I bring it to a close with the warning and with the admonition and the plea that if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus truly as your Savior, or if you doubt your salvation, if you made a profession, but you're doubting that you really possess salvation, by faith, bow your heart before God. Just privately bow your heart before God and confess your sins to Him. And then in your heart, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sins. And just come into this saving relationship with Him through his sacrifice on the cross. And if you've never done this, do it. And if you're a Christian who really is not living the Christian life as you should, you're not as obedient to God as you should be, you're not following him with all your heart, and you're not in his word like you should be, then bow your hearts before God and let this study of the book of Hebrews, not because of me, just because the Holy Spirit speaks to you, rather, but allow your hearts to be submissive to the Lord and come back into right relationship with him. May the Lord help you and bless you, each one.